Go ahead and turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse 19 in just a moment. Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and as we continue to celebrate the coming of the Messiah, Jesus was willing to leave the comfort of heaven and to come to earth to redeem anyone who would place their faith in him. The prophets had foretold of his coming, and many were looking forward to that day. The prophets were silent for some 400 years. End of the Old Testament, if you will, no longer any prophecy given, and then Christ comes. It seems in many ways in looking at it that it was very slowly, and yet he came in God's perfect timing. The Messiah was announced to lowly shepherds in a field, that he had been born in the city of Bethlehem. Literally means the house of bread. So the bread of life was born into the house of bread. And we have life today because of his love for us. It didn't happen quickly, but it was perfectly within his time. We've become so accustomed to things happening quickly. We go to a fast food restaurant and we order our food and we expect it to come out quickly. If it's not to us within a minute or so, we're upset. We're aggravated with why we're having to wait so long. And I mean, after all, fast is better than fresh, right? Maybe not. Faster isn't always better. We all know the story of the tortoise and the hare. We know that sometimes slow and steady wins out. It's not always best to see how quickly you can get something done. It can pay to take your time and to think through things and to be more accurate in your work as you work your way through the process. I've heard several times, several different accounts, of teachers giving a test to their class and handing the test out, and before the test begins, telling all the students, be sure to read through every portion of the test before you start working on the test. And of course, some students do that, but many simply aren't patient enough to read through it, so they begin working on the test. But for those who read through the test first as instructed, they get to the last question where the teacher states, simply sign your name at the top of this paper and don't fill out any questions and you'll turn it in for 100. That's a good test. I don't know about you, but I admit that I struggle with getting in a hurry sometimes to get things done and rather than enjoying the experience. And walking with God, we've got to learn to enjoy the journey, not trying to simply get on the other side of whatever the struggle, whatever the difficulty, whatever the trial is. God grows us in the midst of those storms. We experience God along the way, and we shouldn't miss that. There are also times when it's better to think through our responses to situations and to give the Holy Spirit time to override our first reaction. As we look at God's Word this morning, James is going to give us some very practical instructions that we need to apply in our lives. So let's take a look at what James has to say. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. James chapter 1, verse 19. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that your word is not just a truth among many truths, that it is the truth, the absolute truth. God, sometimes we complicate things so much. I pray today, Lord, that we would not complicate your truth. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. God, move freely in this place. We need you above all else, God. Have your way in our hearts right now. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. There are times when it indeed pays to be slow. First of all, James tells us to be slow to speak. Now, I'm sure no one else here has a problem with this, but it's happened far too many times for me. Too many times when my mouth engaged before my brain engaged. I realize that I'm probably the only one that struggles with that, but it does happen, and And it was especially worse when I was younger. When I was younger, it seemed that my jaw was much quicker in reacting than my mind was. I had one deacon in the church, first church I served full time, that loved to give me a hard time about knowing, about not knowing what hard work was. This deacon was a good man. He really was, and he did work hard for a living. He was a master plumber, and he truly knew what hard work was about. And of course, at that point, being about 22 or 23 years old, I only thought I knew a little bit about hard work. And I wasn't smart enough to keep my comments to myself when he had some jab he would take at me with his comments about me not knowing to work. I mean, at the time, I was doing 20 hours in my last quarter of college, working 20 hours, and 6 days after I finished that quarter of college, I got married. So I felt the stress of all that was going on and a lot of work, and whenever he would give me a hard time, I wasn't smart enough just to remain silent. I would say something back to him. But all of that changed quite a bit for me and for him one day when the sewage line at the church messed up. You see, when the sewage line messed up, I went and I began to help, and he literally, as he pulled up into the church yard, I was ankle deep in sewage, digging out the old sewage line. It smelled beautiful. It was a wonderful thing. But his opinion did change of me, but the truth of the matter is, there wouldn't have been much animosity between us at all if I'd just had sense enough to just go along and not get upset with it along the way and to let my brain work before my mouth wanted to. James tells us and even exhorts us to be slow to speak in verse 19. He wasn't suggesting that we all speak as Southerners with slow drawls. I realize for many of us that's quite simple to do. He wasn't even telling us about the speed in which that we talk or how quickly we speak, but he was talking about to give time to what we are thinking before we say it, to think through what we're saying. There's not one relationship in your life that wouldn't be benefited by following this advice. Whether it's in your workplace, in your home, or anywhere else, taking the time to consider your words carefully can make a huge difference. I will be the goat, if you will, this morning. I'll give you one example of a time where I didn't exercise the wisdom to not speak so quickly. Brooks was younger. He was probably about, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12 years old, and he was playing recreation department football. And the team that he was on, it was a good team. They had a few kids on there that really, really loved to hit. I don't mean punch people. You know, football kind of hitting contact. They liked it, and this team was a good team. They were winning every game. And in this particular game, I was working the sideline. I was working on the chain gang, not that kind of chain gang, for those of you who aren't football people. I'm talking about the chains that show the down and the distance. I was actually working the down and distance marker. So I was working that as the game was going on. In this particular game, we had a couple of penalties that hurt us, and we had a couple of turnovers. And we were actually, it was a close game, and right later in the fourth quarter, the other team scored and went ahead, not by a complete touchdown, but they went ahead by a few points. And one of the kids on the sideline behind me, I heard him say, "Well, we've lost now." And I don't know why, but it just flew all over me. And before I had sense enough to not allow this to open, I turned around, not knowing what kid had said it, and said, "We're not quitters. Quitting's for sissies." Wasn't one of my better moments, okay? Well, after the game, and we ended up winning the game, by the way, and after the game, we were kind of gathered up afterwards, and I realized one of the dads, a friend, was mad at me. And at the moment, I didn't realize why. I didn't know what was going on. Later, I came to realize that he was mad because it was his son that had said it. And I'll have to admit, I felt pretty burdened about that when it dawned on me later. And this particular man worked nights, so I couldn't call him the next morning. I waited till the next afternoon, and I called him, and I said, "Listen, I want you to know I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have said anything." And I apologized to his son as well. You know, sometimes if we just have the sense not to let the mouth engage, to be slow to speak, we don't have to go back and correct the things that we've said. later in the book of James. James warns us about the dangers of the tongue. In James 3, beginning in verse 5, he says this also, "The tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race." But folks, here's the scary part, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Some people live with the mindset that if it comes to mind, I might as well say it. I want to say to you this morning, that is absolutely horrible thinking for the Christian. Let the lost world think that way if they want to, but as a follower of Christ, it does not excuse it to say, well, it came to mind. Sometimes it comes to mind, and that's exactly where it ought to stay, right there. It shouldn't come out. You know the expression, my parents said it, some of you may have said it to your kids. The expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Can I say to you, that is an out-and-out lie. Words can hurt. And they can hurt more than sticks and stones, because oftentimes those bones can heal in a few weeks, but those scars from those words can take years to heal. We need to be careful about what we say, and we need to be careful about how we're saying it. How you say something can absolutely impact how it's received. I remember this comedian several years ago now took one word, and with the one word showed how inflection, how the way that you say it could have an impact on how it's received. And he took the word, forgive me, he took the word dude. And to say hello, you might say, dude. Or to say you're excited, you might say, dude. Or to say that sounds crazy, you might go, dude. Or to say, are you hiding behind the door with a knife, dude? You know, inflection can impact everything that we say, so we need to be careful in thinking about what we're saying, and the Word of God gives us very practical wisdom and insight here to say, be slow to speak. Secondly, James tells us to be slow to anger. Now, this is one I'll have to admit I have absolutely mastered, especially when I get on the interstate or around 285 in Atlanta. I have this one completely. There are people laughing right now. Seriously, it's a struggle, but I'll admit I am confident of this. I'm a little better now than I used to be, but I'm not where I'd like to be. Sometimes I even get angry at myself for getting angry about something. James warns us to be slow to anger. That's why he tells us in James 1:20, for anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We need to be slow to anger. James didn't say that it's wrong to get angry, but he tells us to be slow to get angry because our anger is often the wrong kind of anger. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 4, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for angry gives a foothold to the devil. There have been few times in my life that I was angry about the right thing. There have been a few times in my life when I was actually angry about the right thing, but I'm afraid there have been way too many times when I was angry for all the wrong reasons. There have been times when people have hurt me deeply and I wanted God to rain down hellfire and brimstone upon them. And I have to tell you, that is not righteous anger, even though it might sound somewhat biblical. It's not righteous anger. When people hurt us and even slander us, it is not right for us to try to get back at them. That is the activity of a lost and dying world. As Christians, they need to see a difference in us. Jesus instructed us not to forgive seven times, as the Pharisees thought was the righteous way to do. Jesus said to forgive 70 times seven. It's like, I look at it like this. When I want God to stop forgiving me, it's okay for me to stop forgiving others. And I have news for you. I don't want God to stop forgiving me. Therefore, it's never right for me to stop forgiving others. We should be angry at the work of the enemy, and we should be angry at evil in the world, but we must carefully pray for discernment from God to make sure that we're angry at the right things and not at someone that God created in His own image. It doesn't matter what their skin color is or even what their religion is. If they are a human being, they were created in God's image. Our misdirected and unrighteous anger never has good results. You know, as I was thinking about anger, I couldn't help but to think about one particular character from my childhood that definitely had anger management issues. Some of you may recall watching Looney Tunes when you were younger, and Yosemite Sam had a real serious anger management issue. I'm going to share with you a video about Yosemite and how, in one particular instance, he wanted to make sure that Bugs Bunny got blown up, and his anger overtook him.
There's your piano, Rabbit! Now let's see you play it! No! That's not it! Try it again!
We can all identify. We've been there. While your anger may not cause you to blow up yourself at a piano like it did for Yosemite Sam, the truth is your anger could cause you to blow up your marriage, a close friendship, or your opportunity to stay employed, or your opportunity to be a witness for the kingdom of God. Sadly, your anger can cause you to blow up the unity of a church as well. When people start treating brothers and sisters in Christ in ways that don't honor God, unity and fellowship within the church is destroyed. We've been called with a high calling, and we need to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Christ died for your sin and for the one that you're mad at, and you need to realize that your anger toward them is not what Christ wants in your life. That anger actually causes you to give them control over you. You may not recognize it for that's what it is, but the truth is, when you're angry at them, they actually have control over you because someone outside of you is determining how you behave. Whether you like it or not, it's the truth. We need to ask God the Holy Spirit to fill us and be driven by His presence in our life. God's Word tells us to do all that we do for the glory of God, and we can't glorify God when we're tearing down a brother or sister in the faith. Learn from James' Holy Spirit-inspired wisdom here to be slow to anger, because our anger does not achieve the righteousness of God's anger. Our anger only leads to destruction and confusion, and our God is not the author of confusion. So we see that it pays to be slow to speak and slow to anger. Finally, I want to tell you one thing that James says it pays to be quick to do. James says it pays to be quick to hear. Now, it's well been said that you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. We should listen twice as much as we talk. Now, I'll confess that I find it hard sometimes not to talk, especially when somebody is saying something that I want to respond to. Rather than listening to it all the way through, I want to immediately respond to it. However, it's wise to take it in, to listen. The hardest lesson is not to defend yourself immediately when someone is saying something that's simply not true. Give them time to speak and then carefully, not defensively, respond to the inaccurate information. I want you to look again at what James says in verse 21. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save you. Now, I couldn't tell you how many times I have read that text in my life, a lot of times. But it literally went off in my head when I read it this time, more so than I ever have. Because what James is getting at here in that verse is that God's word is implanted in us. How is God's word implanted in us? Through hearing his word. Whether we read it and hear it, or whether we hear someone else speak it, nevertheless, it is implanted into our lives when we truly take it in. Now, you can talk, and I might not hear you. I might hear you, but I might not hear you. Are you with me? If you are, say, oh my. Okay, so I see some heads nodding, you're with me. Sometimes we can read God's word and we're not hearing it. We're hearing it, but we're really not taking it in. We're really not applying it in our lives. We need to make sure that we're letting God's word speak to us, whether someone else is quoting scripture to us or whether we're reading God's word. To really hear from God and implant his word in our lives, we must really want to hear, and we must work to hear, and we should work to hear quickly. Be quick to hear. I'm hard-headed, and sometimes it can take a while before I really hear it. But God wants us to do more than just politely listen to him. He wants us to pay attention and apply his word. Have you ever been in a situation, in a conversation, where in all honesty, you were there physically, but you weren't there mentally? And they're talking, and they might have been talking for a little while. And all of a sudden, in your brain, it's sort of like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, you've checked out. They're saying something, and all of a sudden, there's this awkward silence. And in your mind, you're going, oh no, did they ask me a question? What was it? You're trying to figure out, and you may try to fake it and play along, but they know you checked out. You weren't there any longer. You don't have a clue what was just said. I'm afraid we treat God like that when we check out on his word. We might quickly read through his word and say, oh, you know, this afternoon I sat down and I read the entire book of James. That's great. But how much did you really take in? How much did you really think about? How much did you really, forgive me, how much did you chew on? It'd be better to take a few verses, or even one verse, and really focus on it and really dig into it than it would to be able to say, well, you know, I studied all of it today. I read all of it today. We should study his word and dig into his word. Even as a professing Christian, we struggle with being content because we're not listening to God. And we're not learning what it really takes to find contentment. Contentment comes from him. As Christians, we've bought into a Christian version of the American dream, when in reality, the American dream is not God's dream for your life. Can I say to all of us, myself included, God has not blessed us so that we might have more. God has blessed us so that we might advance the work of the kingdom of God. Now, that's not to say that God didn't want us to have some nice stuff, but when the stuff becomes more important than doing his work, when the stuff becomes more important than making sure his gospel goes forward, then the stuff is in the wrong place, and it's on the throne of our life rather than him, and he needs to be on the throne. We're missing what God has for us because we unwittingly think that the world has more to offer. When I served in East Cobb, I was in a fairly affluent area. This is back in the early 2000s, and within a five-mile radius of my church, the average household income was almost $70,000 a year within a five-mile radius of my church. But literally, just about 3 miles away, there was another area right there where the average household income was over six figures. And there was a high school that sat right in the middle of that area with all those affluent homes all around it. And in that area around where my church was, within 5 miles or so of my church, there was 4 5A high schools. That high school sat in the middle of the wealthiest section of that community. And would you know that high school had the worst drug problem of any of those schools? We sometimes think that drugs are an economic issue, that the poor are the ones. Can I say to you, the people who had the most that the world has to offer were the least satisfied with their lives because they were turning to drugs to try to fill a void in their life? When it comes to the things of God, we need to be quick to hear. We need to take in His stuff, because all the stuff of the world is not going to satisfy those longings within us. We can take on all that the world has to offer, and we're still going to be empty and wanting more. But the quicker we really listen to the things of God, the sooner we mature in Christ and find real joy instead of some packaged idea that's supposed to make us happy. God's grace is indeed sufficient, and when we allow Him to be our all in all, you know what we find out? He is our all in all. When we allow Him to be the only thing that matters, we realize He is the only thing that matters. He's all we need to be happy. He's all we need to be content. But we keep missing the mark because we're looking elsewhere. James gives us some great advice. It's really simple and to the point. But we'll be honest to say it's hard to put to practice. Be slow to speak. Think about what we're saying and make sure we've thought through how it might be received, and we need to do all that we do for the glory of God, not just to say that we said it. Well, you know, that's just the way I'm wired. Thank goodness for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's wired quite different than you are, and He wants to transform you, change you into what God created you to be, not the way you're wired, not the way I'm wired, the way God's wired. Secondly, be slow to anger. Listen, I understand I don't have this mastered by any stretch of the imagination. Anger is something that I battle myself. But I know that if I'm to glorify God, I cannot allow it to take His place when He needs to be on the throne of my life. And then finally, let's be quick to hear. Listen to the counsel of God's Word. Listen to the counsel of brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be here for one another. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. And when a brother or sister in Christ comes to you and tries to encourage you in the faith, even though it may be hard to hear, be willing to receive what God has for you through that brother or sister. And if it's not of God, then be honest about that with yourself and just pray for them. But if it is from God, let's be quick to hear God's truth and apply it in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You that Your Word is not just simply something for us to fly through and think, oh, that's nice. But God, Your Word is here to help transform us, to shape us and to mold us into what You've created us to be. God, help us to indeed be people who walk in Your truth. Lord, to be slow to speak and slow to anger, but God, quick to hear Your truth. Lord, help us more than anything else to desire to be with You, to desire to be in Your Word, that we might grow in You and mature and be what You've called us to be in the faith. Lord, for each of us here as Christians today, help us to honestly examine our lives. And if we realize, God, that we've been quick to speak, quick to anger, slow to hear, God, we confess that sin to You right now. Lord, help us not to bystep it, not to get around it, Lord, but to simply acknowledge it for what it is and say, God, we're sorry. We ask You to forgive us. And maybe, Lord, even as we think about that, there are people in our life that we need to go to and say, I'm sorry. But whatever we need to do to make sure You're first and to make sure You're glorified in what we do, God, help us to choose that above anything else. Lord, for those who are here today that don't know You, I pray right now they'd realize that You love them more than they could even begin to understand. God, that they'd ask Your forgiveness. Place their faith in You, knowing that you and you alone can save. God, there are others here with burdens and hurts, and you know what those are. I just ask you to wrap your arms around them, strengthen them, and minister to them. God, whatever you want to do in our hearts today, we lay them before you right now. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.